Greetings, travelers! Welcome back to Tales from the Enchanted Forest with your hosts, Fox and Sparrow.
Merhaba, and it's so good to have you back, Fox. I missed you last week.
I'm so sorry. I had to give up the podcast so I could go traveling. How dare I?
It's okay. We have lives, and that's okay. Just glad you got to have a fun adventure away, and I hear you have more stories for us today.
I do. But before we jump into our story, what are some things we are into this week, Sparrow?
I talked a little bit about some of this last week, but a couple of weeks ago or a month ago now, time's a blur, I was watching Dimension 20's Unsleeping City Season 2. And just for those who don't know, that's a D&D show. It's taking place like in New York, but it's like an urban fantasy New York. Anyway, so I was watching that and then kind of watching that and seeing like how much these people clearly love New York, I kind of got the itch to play Spider-Man, the 2018 PS4 game again, because that one takes place entirely in Manhattan. Like, it's just open world in New York. And I was like, well, sure, why not? I'll just play that game again. So that's what I talked about last week, was kind of playing that comfort game again.
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy thing that kind of happened was, while I was playing that, a friend of mine messaged me and said, hey, tickets for this show that we both were very interested in going is happening in New York. Do you want to go? So long story short, I've kind of been into New York lately.
You're going to New York?
I am going to New York. For the record, I have never thought I would ever go to New York, because it just seemed, it seemed like you would go if there was a show or if you had like friends there or something. I know it's the greatest city in the world and all that jazz or whatever, but I kind of just thought it's another metropolis. Like, I've seen a bunch of those. I'm not sure if I need to see another one. So I never had any plans on going. It just seemed like a place that lived in the movies and shows. But the right event is happening in New York, and the right friends told me about it and wanted to go at the same time. So long story short, like, I have tickets to see a show now next year to go to New York City. Of course, it's in January, so it's going to be there when it's like cold and everything, but
I think that'd be quite cool, because I think it's nice to see a city in the summer, but oftentimes it's just so humid and it makes me feel a bit claustrophobic to be in a city when it's so hot. Whereas in the winter, at least you can bundle up and everything's covered in snow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, between just like seeing that show and then playing like Spider-Man, which is in New York, and now knowing I'm going to New York next year, I guess I've had to start kind of like looking in like how to get there, like places to stay. So I've been into New York, of all things. Apple.
You have to have more hobbies besides Baldur's Gate. So I guess New York is fine.
I suppose, you know. But yeah, anyway, so that's kind of what I've been into, is New York City. And I probably, just because I'm now going, will want to rewatch like some movies and shows that I knew take place in New York, so I can be that person and be like, this is where Harry met Sally, or pre-met. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. Fox, I know you went on an adventure lately, but have you been up to anything between stuff?
I don't really think I have anything interesting that I'm up to. Just really enjoying the summer, well, spring, aka summer, because it's already really humid and really hot here. I've been enjoying learning how to make lots of different salads and just kind of no heat kind of cooking, just because when it's so hot, you don't really want to sit in front of a stove and actually make something hot for dinner, which goes against everything, because I am from a family of, and this is, okay, this might be a very European thing, but a lot of places here have like cold dinners, where you just have, you know, sandwiches or meat or, you know, bread and cheese for dinner. And that's so weird to me, because that doesn't seem like a dinner to me. That seems like a snack, or like where you have, you know, grazing boards and stuff, and that's the dinner. And, you know, for my culture, it's always hot dinners. Like, your dinner has to be made on the stove. It has to be hot. It has to be, you know, rice and something, or a soup and something, or you know, something fried with, or it just has to be hot. But I'm really embracing kind of just making like chickpea salads, or making kind of dips and breads and sandwiches and soups and stuff, just that's really easy to make, and that you can just have kind of quickly. So I've been into cooking. I've been into, well, I've started my little garden for the summer. I've planted my peppers and a couple bulbs of flowers. I think I may have done it too prematurely because I've just checked the forecast and there is snow in the forecast for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But this is always what happens. I always put like my winter stuff away and then the second winter hits, or I always, you know, plant something and then the chill comes and kills everything right off the bat. So yeah. We'll see. I'm hoping that the snow is on the mountains and it just rains in the valley. That'd be kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, very typical. Right as the ski season is ending, we get a bunch of snow. So once again, another week, the thing I'm most into is complaining.
Complaining and being sick. That's just going to sum up our 2024, I think.
No, I'm better now. I'm knocking on
wood.
I am better. I had a mysterious illness for like 3 months where I could not stop coughing. But now I am better and fingers crossed. The doctors don't know what was wrong with me. I don't know what was wrong with me. Could have been an allergic reaction. Could have been something to do with asthma, but it's gone and hopefully it never returns. So I'm back to just being grumpy about other things.
Well, I'm really glad you're feeling better. It sucks to be grumpy, but it sucks to be sick and grumpy.
Oh, it just makes your mood even worse.
Yeah.
The worst is when you're sick in the summer, because at least in the winter, you can bundle up, get, you know, a hot water bottle, get under the covers. It's snowing, so you're not really missing out on much. But in the summer, when you're hot, it's humid, your hair is, like, sticking to you, your fingers are sweaty and, like, sticky, and, like, you feel gross and you're sick. I feel like that's the worst.
Yeah. It's the humidity, man. I can't take it. It's too much. I was meant for really cold climates. Like you said, just bundle up during the cold days and just not go out when it's hot.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly why I like spring and fall. I like when it's a bit sunny, but it's still like a bit chilly. So you still have to like bundle up, but there's no humidity yet. Unfortunately, either global warming or whatever, but it is now humid in spring. So we love
Boo.
That. But something I am actually really, really into is these stories for today. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I picked them. but I literally, after I wrote the script, I went around just asking my husband to, like, give me a number between 1 to 400 so I could give him one of the stories. Because I love these tales. But just to give you a little bit of background, because, you know, you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. As a lot of our viewers know, the month of Ramadan, where Muslims all over the world were fasting, has ended. And on March 9th to about the 11th, there were the celebrations for Eid. And in honor of this, I have chosen the stories that are based on the moral tales of the wise fool. And this is the folk figure of Mullah Nasruddin. So just a disclaimer, this is just one of his many names, and his tales do come from all over. In Turkey, he is known as Nasruddin Hoca of Anatolia, and he is believed to be a real historic figure from the days of Seljuk rule. However, these stories do not just belong to a single group of people or an ethnicity, but they are part of a collective tradition. Especially when you think about it, the Seljuk Empire stretched from Turkey to India, and it's very clear that there was obviously some transmission of tales traveling from east to west and back again. So a lot of different groups do claim this figure. But in general, there are just thousands and thousands of stories about this character, and he is such an integral part of Muslim storytelling tradition. And some of the groups that do claim him are the groups of people that are Turkish, Persian, Indian, Uzbek, Bengali, Albanian, Chinese, Azerbaijani, Indonesian, Arabs. Like, the list really does go on. Everyone has a piece of this man. So obviously, I can't go into every single, you know, version of him, but his name is usually made up of two parts, his honorific and then his name, and different regions use different honorifics. Some of the terms are actually really hard to simplify. So for example, the term Hoca usually means master or lord, whereas the honorific Mullah is usually given to a religious leader, a clergy, or a judge. And then sometimes he's called Haji, which is the term that you use for someone who has gone to Mecca. So it really does come down to whatever title he's given. But the main part is that, you know, he's titled. He has some kind of integral wiseness to him. He's not just, you know, a random man on the street. And this will be very important. So the wise fool trope is very important to his character because the things he says are very, sometimes unhinged, but there is an element of wisdom to them, right? So it's very much into wordplay. And I feel like, at least from my culture, we love this kind of stuff, like the slapstick humor as well, but like kind of wordplay humor is also very funny to us. So I've picked a couple of his stories. Obviously, if you want to, you know, live on the podcast and listen to me do all 1,000, then we could do that. But I've picked a couple that I thought were really funny for me, and I hope they're very funny for you.
I'm really looking forward to them.
I mean, some of them will leave you going, that's not how that works, but some of them will leave you just laughing. And as always, all of this will be linked on the website. So if there are any stories you are interested in, or if you want to learn more about him, you can find all that information there.
So are these like similar to like the Greek fables and stuff like that? Because you talk about kind of them being short moral tales.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of them are usually just a paragraph long or a few lines long. There are obviously a couple that are longer. And what I've noticed in retellings, and especially you'll notice in my retelling, I've just combined a couple stories together sometimes to give it a bit more cohesion, because they don't often have a lot of cohesion. They're just standalone individual tales that just, they have a little bit of a joke, then a little bit of a message. And so I think they are kind of like fables, but not in the classic sense. I mean, they are technically moral tales. They are supposed to make you give, you know, a little bit of thought, but at the core of it, they are comedic. Hence the wise fool.
Yes, the Aesop's fables are more just hit you over the head with the fable. They're not really interested in being amusing. Although some of them really are, just, but they seem like they're amusing more by happenstance rather than intent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there are different types. And I feel like Aesop's fables specifically, they're very moral based of you are going to learn this moral and you're going to learn it if I have to smack you in the head with it. And I think they're very clear cut sometimes, whereas these ones, it's not really, sometimes you're just not sure what you're learning. But I really do like the cleverness of them. And with that, I hope you enjoy this series of stories about the wise fool. Once there was, and once there wasn't, and once there was Nasruddin, who was speaking in a new village. Once he got to the pulpit, he looked around at the audience and asked, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" "No," the people shouted in confusion. And Nasruddin packed up and replied, "How can I preach to people who have no idea what I'll be talking about?" Then he left. The next day, the people called him back, feeling quite ashamed and embarrassed. He asked them again, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" This time, they all shouted yes. So Nasruddin packed up and replied, "Ah, since you all know what I will say, then I will not waste your time. We can all leave." This left the group even more perplexed than before, and so they invited him back one more time. When he asked the question again, half the group shouted yes, while the other half shouted no. Nasruddin packed up his things and bid them farewell. "Let those who know teach the half that don't know." Then he left the village.
Ugh. Oh, he's one of these cheeky guys.
It's like there's no message here. It's just, you know, be careful with how you phrase things or whatever. But it's just, I think it's just, I find myself giggling at these. And I don't know why. And I don't know if it's just me. But I really like this kind of like clever, kind of almost riddly, finicky, sarcastic characters. So that night, Nasruddin returned home and had a fight with his wife. Hearing their donkey braying loudly in its pen, his wife said, "Your father is calling you. Go see what he wants." Nasruddin left and returned a moment later with a cheerful grin. And he said, "My father asked me to tell you that your mother, the crow, sends her love." And then he went to bed.
Oh my goodness.
Like, it's just insults. And this one, this the title of this one is literally called Beastly Insults.
Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of like a, like, verbal version of Mr. Bean, of just the same shenanigans. Yes. It has that same vibe of like, oh, what is this guy gonna do? Oh no. But also like, you know, there's gonna be no real consequences because like it's the guy, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm having that same feeling.
I think these are not like stories in the normal sense of like the tales that we tell. But I think, imagine you are sitting, you know, with a circle of your friends, and you're all just, you know, sharing stories and sharing tales, and you all just share like a different version of this story, or a different, you know, Nasruddin tale. I feel like that would be just a really good session of storytelling with each other, because then you can riff off each other, you can keep going.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to see how silly you can get before people are like, oh, okay, come on.
Yeah, okay, that's too much. You know, we got the first several jokes, but now you're crossing a line.
Well, the next day, Nasruddin's neighbor came to his house and asked, which is more intelligent, a camel or a man? The mullah looked over and replied, a camel. It carries heavy loads without complaint, but never asks for another load. Man, on the other hand, already burdened by responsibility, is always choosing to add to his loads.
This is one of those thinker.
So this is more of like a like one of the wise parts. So some of the tales, you have to just ask yourself, is it the wise fool or the wise fool? Like, which one is it really that he's playing up to? And I think ones like this one are more about the wisdom. But they're like, they're not deep. They are deep, but they're not like hitting you over the head with it over and over again to carry a message. It's just trying to get the message across quite quickly. And I think the fun part about a Nasruddin tale is you don't know if you're going to get like a wisdom one or a foolish one. Because there are so many stories of him and his donkey, like him sitting backwards on his donkey. When there's one where, you know, he's going through a market square really fast and he's almost falling off his donkey, and someone asks where you're going, and he's like, you should ask the donkey, not me. I'm not in control.
I don't know, bro. I just work here.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know. I'm riding the donkey. He's in charge.
Yeah.
Later, Nasruddin decided to spontaneously visit his friend. The friend in question was upstairs and saw Nasruddin coming from the window. He hid at once and called to his wife to pretend like he wasn't home. When Nasruddin knocked on the door, the wife apologetically said that her husband was not home and had just stepped out. Looking up, Nasruddin said that it was all right, but she should let her husband know that next time he leaves, he should remember to take his head with him instead of leaving it at the window. On his way home, Nasruddin ran into a stranger looking desperate at a coffee shop. Curious, Nasruddin stopped and asked him what was wrong. The man began crying and said that he used to be rich, but lost everything, and soon he will have to beg on the streets. Nasruddin looked solemn and placed a reassuring hand on the man's shoulder. He said, "Do not worry, you will not have to feel this way for long." The man was shocked and looked at Nasruddin in awe. "Do you mean I'll be rich again?" he asked. "Oh, no," Nasruddin said happily. "You'll just get used to being poor." And so... he's kind of unhinged. Who says that to someone else? As Nasruddin's fame grew and grew, he began advising kings and governors. One day, a man greedy for enlightenment traveled all the way from Baghdad to ask Nasruddin a question about the afterlife. He said, "I have heard that you are a respected sage, and I want to ask you, what happens in the next moment after this?" Nasruddin told him to follow and led the man through the crowded streets. At last, they arrived at a graveyard. Once there, Nasruddin said, "I suggest you ask someone here," and left.
That's like a long way to go to make a point, though. Like, I would just been like, go to a graveyard and ask them. But he was like, no, we're going to go for a walk and make this a like a mic drop moment.
Well, because he's like, how am I supposed to know, buddy? Like, it's not my problem. I'm not dead. Well, or is he? Because this one is called Nasruddin's Death. But of course, he did it in the most Nasruddin way possible. Now, as all men must die eventually, Nasruddin did as well. One day while chopping wood in the forest, he felt very cold and thought to himself, "Ah, I must be dead." And so Nasruddin lay in the forest and closed his eyes as still as a corpse. After a while, he realized that no one would find him to take him to the cemetery, so he rushed home to his wife. Upon seeing her, he called out, "I have died. Please tell the neighbors and my friends to come get my body from the forest." Nasruddin left quickly while his wife ran sobbing to the coffee house. Pounding her chest and crying, she shouted that her husband was dead. The men were astounded and asked how she knew. "Oh, he came and told me," she replied, still sobbing. On his way back to the forest to die, Nasruddin hurried over to his lawyer about making a will. Confused, the lawyer set to work and asked how Nasruddin would like to divide his estate. After a moment's thought, Nasruddin said that he would like to give 1,000 gold coins to each member of his family, 5,000 to an orphanage, 5,000 to a mosque, and 20,000 to the poor of the city. The lawyer was amazed and asked how the mullah was so wealthy. "Oh, I don't actually have any money," Nasruddin explained. "I just have great feelings of generosity." And with that, Nasruddin returned to lay dead in the forest.
Wow. Wow. What a pair those two. "My husband's dead. How do you know? He just came and told me." Oh. Maybe a
Where's all this money you want to give away coming from? "Oh, I don't actually have any. I just want to give it away."
He said, "How much do I want to give? This is what I want to give. I just don't have it."
So, those are the stories I chose. But I do want to play a little game with you, Sparrow.
Ooh.
I want you to give me a number from 1 to 474. And you will get to choose two of your own Nasruddin tales.
Oh, I wish I had my dice with me. I would have totally rolled for this. let's see. Okay. How about 392?
Okay. This one is called The Swimming Bucket.
Okay.
I don't know what this will tell you about your future, but, you know, take it as a prophecy.
Okay, this is the prophecy.
Nasruddin went to the well to draw some water. As he lowered the rope, it snapped, and the bucket fell to the bottom with a loud splash. With a sigh, the mullah sat down on the wall of the well. "Are you sunning yourself, mullah?" asked a friend who happened to pass by a few minutes later. "No, I'm waiting for my bucket. It dived into the well for a swim and now seems reluctant to leave the cool water." I don't know what that says about your future.
No, wait.
But...
So wait, the bucket fell. So I think that means like bad times ahead because it fell. But it was cool down there. So like maybe I'll be okay. But I'll be stuck because the person who dropped me down there is not doing anything to help me out.
So maybe you're going to get yourself into someone's going to put you in a cool situation and then you'll be stuck there because they're going to wait for you to come out of it yourself.
This is crazy. Okay, this is good now.
I don't know what the moral is here, but okay, let's try one more. Maybe you'll get a wise one.
Maybe. Let's see. I mean, I got like a 50-50 chance, right? Let's see. Okay. I did an even number that time. So let's do an odd number. Let's do 111.
Okay. So this is called Five of Us.
Okay.
Nasruddin asked the local imam, "How is it that you attend only one out of the five daily prayer sessions?" "Simple mathematics," replied Nasruddin. "There are five in my family, and we are each responsible for one prayer a day."
Okay. So I actually do have five immediate family members like growing up. So if I ignore, you know, my siblings getting married and that type of stuff, I do have five. I don't know about the prayer once day thing though. Maybe there's something in my life I don't need to do as often because my siblings and my family is doing it.
Well, in Islam, I think you're supposed to pray five or seven, I can't remember, times a day as kind of like the daily thing. And a lot of people don't do it. But I remember when we used to work at a specific place, I remember that we had sometimes guests would ask for a place to pray. And then we'd have to just quickly figure out which way I think east was for them because you have to pray in the direction of Mecca. So I remember a couple times people would, you know, they would have to time it. But I know a lot of, at least my more modern Muslim friends, I don't think they do it as often. I think most of them will do it once in the morning, once in the evening, just because it's not really accommodating to find like a quiet space to do it. And so they have to kind of just do it when they can. But in this case, he's saying, you know, why are you only here one out of five? and his solution as well. We're all responsible for one. What more do you want from me?
Because I'm sure that's how prayers work.
It's definitely wrong, but you know.
Yeah, no. Well, there you go. Those are my fortunes. I will let you know how they pan out. But these have been fantastic. They're so weird.
They are. And I think I felt really drawn to them because I feel like we cover lots of heavy stories, lots of deep stories, lots of really long stories. And a lot of the time, I think those stories are obviously very fun to cover. And I really do enjoy, you know, when we did the Shahnameh stories, when we do the really interesting ones that have lots of allusions and lots of different versions of them. But sometimes I think, especially in a time of, you know, when it's celebration, it's Eid, a time when you're just supposed to, you know, enjoy the spring. I feel like it's a reminder that these kind of stories, these kind of comedic touches, these kinds of little tales that we tell each other, and that, you know, everyone from all over this area has been telling each other for decades, for centuries. It's kind of the core of storytelling, right? To bring people together. And I feel like characters like this, where you have a folk hero who's known all over, a lot of different groups claim him, right? So it's not like but he doesn't belong to any one of them. It's very much almost a universal shared experience that we all have of this one character. And we all enjoy his antics, and we can all enjoy his antics. And so I just wanted to share something light, something fun, something that isn't too heavy, just because the season is very light and I wanted us to have a nice opening before we start getting into some of the deeper stuff, because this is just a fun podcast sometimes. It's not always such a deep historical-based podcast.
I like to think we're always having a little bit of fun here or there, but you're right. We do like to cover some bigger stories once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I think I have noticed in the past that at least a number of times we've covered bigger stories in like the summer months. And I think I look forward to more of those bigger stories. But in the meantime, just the little joys of these tiny ones are just such a treat to find.
Yeah, and it's honestly, I think it's an honor to be part of a storytelling tradition like this one, where we can also retell these stories. And maybe some of you are listening to these stories for the first time. Maybe they remind you of stories that you heard growing up. Maybe you also have, you know, the wise fool character in your culture. And so it's always just nice to touch upon things that maybe aren't as well known to us in the Western world, but they are to other cultures. And so, I mean, I personally, I remember stories like this, but I don't think they were ever called Mullah Nasruddin. I think he had a different name from where I'm from. But there are definitely traces of this character in those stories that I heard. So it's very nice to kind of have that little connection with my culture and share it with you guys. But I am also looking forward to some of the deeper stuff, some of the longer stories, some of the, you know, maybe even multi-episode stories, because those are also really fun to just get into the nitty-gritty of a tale.
It's been a minute since we've done one of those.
It's been a minute, so I think it's about time. I think we did a bit of a heavier one.
Ooh, possible spoilers.
Well, you know, if anyone has any ideas, we're always open to suggestions as well. I think we did, you know, Beowulf, we did St. George, we've covered the Shahnameh, we've covered a lot of fairy tales and folk tales. We've done two episodes on East of the Sun, West of the Moon.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Yeah, those were all so much fun. So I'm just looking forward to maybe doing something a little bit longer next. But this is just a nice, enjoy the spring, listen to this while going on a walk, you know?
Yeah.
And as long as we made someone giggle, that's all I need.
And with that, dear travelers, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next time with more wonderful tales from the Enchanted Forest.
And as always, travelers, if you want to see more of Nasruddin and his wise fool tales, be sure to check out the summary notes on the website, as well as check out on our Twitter. We do have some stories on there as well. If you want to hear more from us, join us on Twitter, now known as X, at From Enchanted. We're also on Instagram, Mastodon, TikTok, Blue Sky, YouTube. We are literally everywhere and you will be able to find us. But if you're a little bit more old school like Sparrow, you can email us at talesfromenchantedforest@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. So if you have anything to share, please don't hesitate. And if you got a little giggle out of these stories, please do give us a review on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts. It helps the podcast grow and reach new travelers to join us on these trips. And maybe someone else will have their own Nasruddin tale to share.
And remember, there's always a place for you in the Enchanted Forest.